Let us pray. Lord, we come to you once again. We commit the time to you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to use this time to speak to us. As we come, as we are, come with our inadequacy. Come with our helplessness. Because without you, we can't know the Lord. We can't know you. Lord, Holy Spirit, pray that you help us. You anoint the speaker and also the listeners so that we can come in the name of the Lord Jesus and listen to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at the book of Ephesians for a while. This morning, I would like to continue and focus on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 30. The version I'm using is the ESV version. Let me read. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In order to understand these two verses better, let us first review and look at the context of this verse of the book of Ephesians. Apostle Paul said in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This verse divides the whole book of Ephesians into two main parts. Chapter 1 to 3 talk about the glorious calling of God to which Christians have been called to. Chapter 4 to 6 talk about how Christians should walk worthy of this calling. In the first main part, Paul said in chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Then Paul continued in verse 8 to 10 of the same chapter 2. He said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Verse 8 to 9, as we shared before, said a person is saved by grace through faith for this glorious calling of God. This salvation is not by our own doing. It is totally the gift of God. Originally, you and I are dead in sin. One day, you heard the gospel. You repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that you received Jesus as your personal Savior and King. You were forgiven of your sin and you are saved. This salvation is a free gift from God, not a result of our own work. And then verse 10 tells us that when a person is saved, he becomes a new man, created in Christ. This new man is no longer dead in sins. This new man in Christ is able to walk, to do good works, walk in good works. With the help of the Holy Spirit, not only we are now able to do good works by grace through faith, doing good works by grace through faith is actually the purpose for us to be saved. That's why Paul urged Ephesian Christian in chapter 4, verse 1, saying, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Yes, chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 tells us that to be saved is not by good works. But chapter 2, verse 10 also tells us that to be saved for good works. In fact, good works or desire of good works are natural consequence or continuous evidence of a person being truly saved. How does a Christian walk in good work worthy of the calling? Paul explained in the second main book, the second part of the book of Ephesians, which is chapter 4 to 6. He talked about the primary and most important good work worthy of the calling is to build up the body of Christ. This is the first half of chapter 4, which is verse 1 to 16. Then how the body of Christ can be built up? Not by our old self, but by the new man created in Christ, as mentioned in the verse 17 to 24 of chapter 4. We need to put off the old self or old man and put on the new man in order to build up the body of Christ. Through what aspects the body of Christ is built up? Verse 25 told us that putting off, speaking falsehood, but putting on, speaking truth in love. And then verse 26 to 27 told us putting off sinful anger and giving no opportunity to the devil. And last time, verse 28, told us putting off, stealing, and putting on, working good work, and giving to the needy. Today we are going to look at the following two verses, verse 29 to 30. Let me read it once again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Obviously, here there are two imperatives. The first one, do not let corrupting words coming out of your mouth, but edifying words. Second, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So the theme I would like to give to my message today is do not speak corrupting words, but edifying words, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm going to speak on three main points. Number one, no corrupting words. Number two, but words that build up. Number three, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us first look at the first main point, no corrupting words. In verse 29, talking about no corrupting words, but words of building up. Speaking corrupting words is a characteristic or habit of the old self. Verse 22 in the same chapter told us that our old self is corrupt through deceitful desires. The deceitful desires include selfish desire and pride. What are corrupting words? Corrupting words are often motivated by selfishness and pride of the old self. Here Paul used corrupting words to be versus words that build up. Corrupting words, the opposite side, words that build up. Therefore, corrupting words are also words which do not build up, but the opposite, that is tearing down, tearing other people down. Have you recently spoken corrupting words which torn down others? Lies is one kind of corrupting words, that is speaking falsehood but not truthful words mentioned in verse 25. Vladimir Putin lies that Ukraine isn't a real nation. The inhabitants of Kyiv, Kharkiv, Lviv in Ukraine yearn for Moscow's rule. The war he initiated was not a war, but a peacekeeping mission in the country. Lies or rumor, either creating rumor or spreading rumor. That is another kind of corrupting words. Like some people creating misinformation on COVID-19 and vaccinations, or spreading those misinformation. So we need to be careful of the information we come across through social media, and we need to discern whether they are true or not. Even the information might be true or good, we may need to discern whether the source of information is good or bad. For example, the cult Eastern Lightning created a lot of different websites which don't show any owner's name or organization, name of organization of individuals. A lot of websites. On their website, they encourage you to send email to them for any question on Christian faith. If you're interested, you can send email to them. Through this, they can hook on gospel friends or young Christians and destroy their faith. They post even sometimes good messages copied from other good Christian sources as their own, or posting some good picture with scriptural words on them. If we are not careful or discerning, we might easily forward those biblical messages or scriptural pictures with the cult's website names or link on them to gospel friends or young Christians. The receivers might then go to their apparent Christian but heretic and cultic website and deceived. I came across Christians, nearly an experienced Christian, but nearly unintentionally committing this kind of mistakes. So we need to watch out. Not everything you see and receive is appropriate for you to forward. Proud words is another kind of corrupting words. When I was in high school, I often said this kind of corrupting, proud words. During science lessons or maths lessons, when a teacher tried to engage us by asking us questions, I was usually the first one to raise up my hands to give the correct answer. At that time, I always said, "I know, I know." Or I say, "This is easy stuff." Then I give the answer, correct answer. Probably the teachers were not happy with me, stopping others to answer the question or making other students feeling dumb to ask questions where they didn't understand. They might all be very annoyed by my arrogance and insensitivity. Not to say my classmates. The teacher didn't know how to correct my problem. They couldn't find a way to discourage me from showing off. My showing off actually discouraged other students asking questions. My proud comments make them feel dumb. Proud words are corrupting words. Obviously, my words were very socially unwelcome. I was a very annoying person that I was not aware of that time. I hope I have improved a bit after all these years. But there are some corrupting words which might be socially acceptable, like sarcastic words, which might be well accepted as a subculture. We all know jokes can be good fun, lighthearted and humorous, but it can also be good fun in the expenses of others, even in a playful way. It can be unkind or hurtful to the person you make fun of. It can be tearing him down. If this is the case, the joke becomes a teasing, but not a humor. It becomes corrupting words. I was born and grew up in Hong Kong. The popular movies and TV shows, or so-called soap operas, show how people tease one another in a playful way or smart way. They show that how witty, sharp, and quick-minded and humorous the characters in the TV shows are. Actually, they are not true humor, but sarcasm. I'm not a humorous person. I'm boring. But I know there's a difference between humor and sarcasm. When I was still in Hong Kong, I didn't notice this kind of sarcasm too obviously or too much of an issue because I'm in the midst of them. I try not to do it, but I don't feel too bad about it. After migrating to Australia for quite a few years, I had an opportunity to go back to Hong Kong to visit families. After a Sunday church meeting with the church brother and sister I grew up with, we had lunch with them. I remember clearly that after the lunch, Yvonne and myself reflected and discussed what happened during the lunch. In their conversation with one another, they are full of sarcasm. They might not be aware of it, as I was before, but both of us, Yvonne and myself, felt sad about it. Imagine a Christian husband and his Christian wife. Apparently, they have a harmonious marital relationship. One day, their grade two young son before the dad, feeling proud of the dad, saying, "See how much I look like dad." Then the mom responded with a joke, "Oh no, son, that is not good looking. If you look like him, it will be hard for you to find a good wife in the future." The father didn't mind of his wife's joke because he was used to it. And the wife say this is just maybe motivated by making a joke, give a light-hearted atmosphere. They might have a very good relationship, they don't mind. But maybe some of them mind. Or maybe even it is not motivated to tear down her husband and just try to be humorous. But maybe the impact might not be good for the son. Or undermine his respect for the father. Or diminish the son's self-assurance as he thought he's like his dad who is not good looking. This is minor thing, but we don't know what impact is. So we need to be careful of what we say. Or what impact the joke might be on the daughter next to the mom. How did the joke affect her interacting with other people at school, at work, and even in the future to her husband, future husband, if God leads her into marriage? So we need to be careful of what we are speaking. We are speaking good words to build up, but not corrupting words. But sarcasm is a kind of corrupting words which might now become socially acceptable and becomes part of our culture in the society. Recently, a parent told me of a corrupting word. This is only one word, and this corrupting word is very short. The corrupting word is of two letters only. S-O. So, This can be a corrupting word from a rebellious and disrespectful heart. One day the mom saw her young son doing something wrong and she tried to correct and point this out and correct him. Then the son responded, "So?" with a rolling eyes. Did this kind of "so" come out from your mouth in the past? I saw a mom looking at it, thinking about, or the son thinking about, have my son talk about using this corrupting word? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." Have you ever used your eyes to mock your parents with a corrupting word "so" from your mouth or in your heart? Some people might say, "I did use my eyes and the word "so" to mock my parents, but my eyes have not yet picked out by ravens, by vultures." Tragically, their eyes have been picked out even without their knowing. Their spiritual eyes has gone. Some people might have been Christian for quite a number of years, but still can't see the beauty and preciousness of the Lord. Is it possible that their spiritual blindness has been caused by despising or dishonoring their parents? Behind the corrupting word "so" and rolling eyes, there are the spirit of ungratefulness, the spirit of pride, the spirit of dishonoring God through dishonoring parents. May we put off our despising eyes and corrupting word "so" by putting on the spirit of gratefulness, the spirit of humility, and the spirit of honoring God through honoring parents. This kind of putting off and putting on is not just for children. It is for people of all ages, including young adults, middle ages, even elderly people, as long as their parents are still alive. What else of corrupting words? Words of rejecting others, words of shaming others, words of condemnation, discouragement, provoking others, spreading bitterness, spreading division, words from uncontrolled anger, words of blaming others, words of complaining God, words of impatience. These can be corrupting words. We won't be able to go through all kinds of corrupting words because they're endless list. The important thing is that we need to have the spiritual sensitivity and discernment of our own corrupting words. Once we identify it, we need to reject it and need to put it off. We need to ask God for forgiveness or ask people for forgiveness whenever appropriate. If we can't identify it, we won't be able to put it off. The consequence is that we will be continuing intoxicating others and being intoxicated by it, by our own corrupting words. How can we identify corrupting words? In the past, I was very scared of spicy or hot food. When I was young, couldn't bear a tiny bit of chili. The more I become older, or another word, better word, more matured, the more I can take chili. I even find some chili in the food now can increase my appetite. Of course, I still can't take too much. Otherwise, my mouth will become very hot and my eyes wet. But some chili, I find it to be tasteful and enjoyable. Do you know why I have this change? Have you heard of elderly people like more ingredients in their meals? More salt, more sugar, more sour, more hot. In short, stronger taste. Do you know why? Do you know why? I don't know. I don't think you know why. I don't think all of you know why. Maybe some of you know why. You don't know because you're still young. This is because the taste buds of elderly people are deteriorating. That's why they need more amount of ingredients to maintain the feeling of tastefulness with their deteriorating taste buds. Do you know why I can take more chili food? Because my taste buds are deteriorating. So, is deteriorating taste buds good or bad for me? And for other elderly people? Of course, bad. But this is one of the causes of high salt, high sugar, high ingredients in elderly people's cooking meals, which is threatening their health. This is also why elderly people tend to eat rotten food, which was kept in the fridge for a long time. Their memory is not good to warn them of the lengthy time of the food in the fridge. Their taste buds are not able to help them to discern bad food from good food. Their deteriorating sense of smell can't help them to distinguish rotten food from fresh food. As long as they have high salt, high sugar, high amount of ingredients, they can enjoy their meal and they are happy. That's why elderly people have more chance of food poisoning. Some of you might thank God for you are still young and not too old. Yes, you should be thankful for your youthfulness. You should be grateful to have healthy taste buds, sense of smell, and good memory. But you still need to be careful, and even need to be more careful. It is because of your spiritual taste buds, spiritual sense of spiritual smell, spiritual memory of spiritual things can be deteriorating, such that you are losing your spiritual power, ability to discern corrupting words. Like what I mentioned previously on the things happened to Hong Kong brother and sister, being insensitive to corrupting words of sarcasm in the midst of the sarcasm subculture through TV series and movie in Hong Kong society. I'm not sure what is the popular TV series nowadays in Australia, but if you're enjoying those entertainment composed of corrupting words, ask yourself, how are your spiritual taste buds? Are you physically young, but with a spiritual aging heart and mind? Are you keep having corrupting or rotten mind and heart food, damaging your spiritual life, while you're enjoying those rotten soul and spiritual food? Some people say, I'm tired after a long day work or study. I need to watch so-and-so TV soap opera to relax and wind down. So every day I need to watch 1 hour or two before I go to sleep. Then you need to be careful whether those series are not corrupting or rotten mind and soul food or junk food. Otherwise, your spiritual life will be threatened. Your spiritual taste buds will be deteriorating. Furthermore, a vicious cycle occurs. If they are junk or so rotten soul food, and you watch and enjoy it. You feel relaxing by enjoying corrupting words and things. Gradually, your appetite desires this kind of soul food. Your appetite for God's word reduces. You find those corrupting things enjoyable and can help relaxing you from anxiety or sadness. But God's word becomes harder and harder to comfort you, to satisfy you, to strengthen you. This is a vicious cycle. Can be a vicious cycle. There are terminology in computer science or mathematical modeling or actuarial modeling. Garbage in, garbage out. GIGO. It means that regardless of how accurate a program or modeling is, the result will be wrong if the input data is invalid. We can use GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, to describe this. If you're taking corrupting words from garbage, soul food, through the things you see and hear and read, the garbage will go into your heart and mind, and you will naturally speak out of corrupting words in due course. Because GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. We need to guard ourselves of the corrupting soul food and maintain our spiritual taste buds so that we can identify corrupting words and put them off and repent. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 36. Your brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. So we need to be careful. As someone said, think before you act. Think twice before you speak. I think one of the reasons is that because words can be so easily and quickly and carelessly to be out of our mouth, we need to think twice before it is out. Someone also say, before hurting words come pouring out of your mouth, think first, then leave them unsaid. After looking at no corrupting words, let us move on to the second main point. That is speaking words that build up. Building up. This word is the same word appear in chapter 2, verse 21. Building of God's house. The same word in chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 16. We're talking about the building of the body of Christ. So this building up can be also referring to the building up of God's church. When we do not speak corrupting words but edifying words, it is not only beneficial to ourselves and the people, we can build them up. It is also beneficial for the building up of the body of Christ, which is dearly and deeply loved by Christ. Therefore, when you come to church, when you come to morning tea, when you come to youth group, when you catch up with one another on Zoom or a cafe, you pray to the Lord, desiring not to speak corrupting words, but edifying words for building up of the body of Christ. This desire and prayer is very pleasing to our Lord Jesus because he loves his church dearly and deeply. He is zealous for his church being built up. While the old self or old man is corrupt through deceitful desires. As we mentioned before, the new man is created in God's image with a true holiness and righteousness. That's why in verse 25, Paul asks us not to speak falsehood, but truth. In verse 29, he asks us not to speak corrupting words, but words of building up. Give grace to those who hear. We speak truth and give grace because Jesus is full of grace and truth. Also, he has said, give grace to those who hear. The focus is to give grace to people surrounding us who are hearing. The focus of speaking is not for self-seeking or self-protection, but paying attention to know and meeting and to meet the need of the hearers. How to know the needs? Knowing their needs through listening to them, observing their needs, and by even asking them questions. Try to understand them. That's why James said, let every person, James chapter 1, verse 19, it said, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. After knowing the hearer's need, learn to give grace, not paying attention to our own instinct of self-protection or self-seeking through speaking corrupting words. Even you feel that you have been torn down by the hearers, by the people around you, using their corrupting words to tear you down. Even that. Even you feel that the hearer or the people around you does not deserve goodness in return. This is still the time to learn to give grace, because grace is giving to goodness to those undeserved. This can be your spouse, can be your children, can be your parents, can be brother and sister in the church. This is how God treated us. Give us grace, the undeserved. This is the gospel. Regarding to giving grace to our children, someone said, if we have to err in relating to our kids, let's err on the side of grace, not of being overly strict. If we are not sure whether we should be more gracious or more strict, if we are not sure, then safer is to err on the gracious approach. Because grace speaks to my own conscience. Grace motivates me wholly. In the same way, grace can speak to my children's conscience. Grace can motivate my children wholly. Here also said, fits the occasion in verse 29. This verse of building up is not like parrots repeating the same words or at all occasion, but needs God's wisdom to fit the occasion. Do we have the resolution and desire to give grace in the conversation we have through speaking? How can we say good words to give grace? Previously, we mentioned about GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Here we have another new GIGO. God's word in, God's word out. That is, if you have taken God's word more, you can have God's words out from your mouth. That is the new GIGO. Previously, we talked about the vicious cycle of corrupting words. Actually, here we have the virtuous cycle. Nutrition expert told us that when we have more healthy food, this healthy food can increase our appetite for further healthy food. Last year, in a weekend away, I heard a young person saying that the more she reads the Bible, the more she likes to read and enjoy it. Last night I came across an article on how the body changes once you start eating healthy. It said many things, but I chose some to share. It said, 1 week after starting eating healthy, you are starting to notice that your food cravings are lessening. While earlier you may crave pizza, burgers, and ice cream, now you're looking forward to the healthy meals you have planned. 1 month after starting this, you are actually decline unhealthy food. You will actually decline unhealthy food that are offered to you. By 1 month in, you've come to really appreciate how much better you feel not eating those foods and prefer to stick a healthy eating plan. 6 months after starting healthy eating, you'll be healthier in cholesterol levels, lower risk of heart disease and stroke, lower risk of fractures and broken bones, lower risk of diabetes. 1 year after starting, you are sure you will not revert back to your old lifestyle by this point. You've seen too many positive changes to give it all up for those foods, those junk food. You'll be feeling happier and healthier than you ever have before. I'm not sure how true the articles to healthy eating physically, but I believe it is true for taking in God's word and more appetite for God's word. Then you can have more words of grace to build up your hearers. This is the virtuous cycle of the new GIGO. God's word into your heart, God's word out of your mouth. After looking, and no corrupting words, but edifying words, let us look at the third and final point. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In verse 30. This verse tells us that we do not grieve, should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. There is the word "and" connecting verse 29 and verse 30. That tells us that corrupting words grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve. To grieve, you can only grieve someone. You can't grieve something. You can only grieve a person who has feeling. In fact, you can only grieve a person who has deep feeling towards you. He needs to be emotionally attached to you. You can't grieve a person emotionally detached from you. To a person emotionally detached or distant from you, you can only anger him, but you can't grieve him. You can only grieve a person who loves you. You can't grieve a person who doesn't care for you. For example, if your money has been missing mysteriously from your wallet, you'll be angry, is it? But if you discover that it is your child who stole it, your anger will quickly turn into grief. The use of the word grief is to describe the sorrow we feel when the disappointment is due to the one we love. Have you grieved someone? Or have you been grieved by someone? Have you been grieved by your child? I know a Christian. He grieved for his rebellious daughter, such that he grieved himself into clinical depression. He saw his daughter gone astray, which caused his deep emotional pain. He was saddened. but a daughter he loved. Grieve. Here say, Holy Spirit. When Paul refers to the Spirit of God, Paul did not write on the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. Paul emphasized this Spirit of God is holy. So our sins can cause great pain to the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by our sins. Just like the daughter grieved the father. Verse 30 is a very clear evidence of the personality of the Holy Spirit that he can be grieved. If he is only a mere influence or a spiritual power source, the Holy Spirit can't be grieved. Because we can only grieve a person. We can grieve the Holy Spirit means that he's a person, not a thing. He's the third person of the triune God. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon once said, grief is a sweet combination of anger and of love. It is anger, but all the bitterness is taken out from it. Love sweetens the anger, turns the edge of it, not against the person, but against the offense. Jesus born in a humble manger with humility. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and me with humility and patience. We shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit. As we see the love of the Holy Spirit to us and his willing dwell in us. We shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit because we are sealed by him for the day of the redemption when Jesus returns. Sealed. The seal on a thing is to prove that the authenticity, the thing, or the authority of the ownership of the thing. If you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, you are his. The grief of the Holy Spirit does not show that you have not yet been born again. The grief of the Holy Spirit actually is a sign of a genuinely born again Christian. So don't think that if you sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit and you are not Christian, you are no longer Christian. No. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 to 8, it said, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor the weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The Holy Spirit shows us that his grief is part of his teaching and discipline to us. Also, the grief of the Holy Spirit doesn't cause him to leave us or stop us to be a child of God. As John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17 said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This helper will be with us forever. That means he never leaves children of God. This is the commitment the Holy Spirit made to us. He loves us so much, he is willing to commit himself to stay with us forever. The grief of the Holy Spirit doesn't stop us from being a born-again child of God. But the grief of the Holy Spirit is to call us to repent after sinning. When we know that our sins grieved the Holy Spirit who loves us, we should stop ourselves from sinning because we love the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has been grieved, he has no joy in us. Consequently, we don't have the joy of the Holy Spirit. We lost the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who suffers in us, and we lost Christian joy and peace. At that time, because of our sin, we can only have worldly joy, which can give us a temporary comfort or excitement for a while. But eventually, the sin can destroy, damage us as Christians. Genuine Christians, once having the assurance of his salvation, will no longer enjoy the assurance anymore if you grieve the Holy Spirit. Unless you repent. If someone sinning, continues sinning, grieving the Holy Spirit, if this person still thinks that he has the assurance of salvation, his assurance is a false assurance. Just like today, a lot of North American self-claimed born-again Christians openly saying that they are Christian, born-again Christian, at the same time, they openly sinning without grief and repentance. Once the Holy Spirit teaches us that we are grieving the Holy Spirit, we should repent straight away. Sometimes repenting might mean that we need to deal with the sin not on the surface, but on a deeper level of sinful issues in our life. We need to deal with that. Repenting and sensing the need of repentance actually is a sign of genuine Christian. So don't be discouraged when the Holy Spirit lets you know you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Just repent. Grieving the Holy Spirit otherwise can cut off electrical cable lines, someone mentioned in this verse, connecting to the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone said, every time I speak carelessly, I hurt at least 3 people. The person I speak carelessly about, myself, and the Holy Spirit. So let us look at the 2 verses, Ephesians chapter 4, 29 and 30 once again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let us pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for your precious scripture written for us. Lord, we pray that you speak to us individually, no matter how young, how old we are. Lord, we pray that you fill the gaps of what has been spoken. You translate your own scriptural words into our hearts. And help us to treasure the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And let us to love the Holy Spirit, not to grieve him. And help us not to speak words that build up for the building of the body of Christ, whom you love so dearly and deeply. Be glory be to you because you are worthy. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.